The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
So, as promised or threatened, we've been at the Gillard Awards, the BBC Local Radio Awards. Francis Curry is here from lots of consultancy operations that you do. Bernard Achampong from currently Radio 2. What do we make of the event, Bernard?
Well, it was good to see so much of local radio represented here. And actually, the standard and the diversity of work is brilliant. It's a rich source of new, fresh ideas and new, fresh talent that perhaps the rest of the BBC doesn't get to handle on.
What do you think of it from a commercial radio point of view? I know you work within the local radio family, Francis, but you predominantly work within commercial radio. How do you think BBC local radio is coping with the modern world?
I think when you think about radio, BBC local radio, you sort of have to put on a different head because they do a very different thing from commercial radio. And I think what commercial radio sometimes is in danger of losing is that real sense of connection and localness. And I think that's the thing that BBC local radio is getting better at. They're managing to combine targeting an audience, understanding an audience, or as they've been talking a lot about tonight, audiences, with being really plugged into the patch and understanding what people want to hear about.
And good to hear them celebrating not just journalism in the sense of news bulletins, but people and stories and, you know, local conversation in the broader sense.
Well, in the spirit of BBC's DQF, local radio are doing more with less. You see the range of awards celebrated tonight, and some of the ideas are amazing, but you ask yourself how they managed to do that and the kind of budgets they have or don't have.
Storytelling is absolutely the heart of BBC local radio, and I think BBC local radio is still getting better at telling stories, and they're real stories about real people on the patch, round the corner, down the street.
Thanks, chaps. I found one of the judges. It's Julian Warwicker. What do you make of the scale and scope of the programming that was successful tonight, Julian?
Well, I was judging the Breakfast Programme Award together with two others, and I think we were all, I mean, we faced having to pick one winner out of 22, so we heard a lot of terrific radio. I mean, the standard was really, really high, I thought, in the Breakfast Programme category. Very hard to pick a winner. And I think what tonight has reminded us all of is just how much really creative, original radio comes out of BBC local radio. I mean, that's my background and yours. I was in local radio in the late 1980s when it was largely overlooked by almost everybody who now occupies a boss's position. And I'm delighted to see that an event like this actually acknowledges how bloody good it is an awful lot of the time.
Thank you, Julian.
The Radio Today programme.
Last time I saw this guy, I think I was telling you off for not playing Like a Hurricane through to the end, but that didn't seem to get in the way of your career. Mike Reed, how are you?
I'm very good. I play Like a Hurricane right through to the end, all 6 minutes of it. I probably had a five-minute show at the time. That's what it was, yeah.
So what are you doing here at the Gillards, Mike?
Well, I do Monday to Friday BBC Radio Berkshire from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Good lineup. We've got Henry Kelly, we've got Tony Blackburn, we've got Ant Diamond, we've got James Whale with us as well, so Paul Ross. So great fun. So just down the road, and they said, come along and have a drink.
BBC local radio actually really good. There are people who will be listening to this who will think, you know what, it's just for old folks. But it isn't, is it?
Oh, no. I mean, it's ideas, and you can put ideas together like we used to do at Radio 1. I'd say to Doreen Davis, what about Three Men in a Boat on the River? Good idea. We'll get Gambaccini, Noel Evans and you out there. What about Ticket to Ride? That's a good one. We'll get on the ferry. And she would do things. So say within local radio. I mean, recently I said, why don't I do the river, 60 miles of the river? One day I walked with Steve Redgrave, the next day with Yuri Geller. So we're doing history of the river, what's happening, local sports, stuff like that. So we're reflecting it. So it's great. And I'm out on tour every week as well, so you can throw in lots of ideas. And we've got the BBC written archive there. I go and plunder that. Do you know what I found the other day? I found the letter from Lord Reith to the British Broadcasting Company asking for the job with his CV. You know, why I'm qualified for the job by Lord Reith. Brilliant, brilliant.
Thank you, Mike. Ali Dawes, last time I saw you, you were at BBC Cambridge, now you're at BBC Oxford, multi-award winner tonight. What do you put that down to?
Teamwork. It's the only solution, it really is. We have the most fantastic team. They work together extremely well, and that is just borne out tonight in the success that we've seen. Three awards, absolutely amazing. More than we could ever have hoped for, but it is the benefit of a lot of hard work, and it is a massive reflection on the whole station, just really working together to achieve the same thing, which is to win recognition for making great radio.
Thank you, Ali.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
I've finally managed to hook up with the big winner tonight, Tony Snell from BBC Radio Merseyside. Two awards. How'd you pull that off?
Well, I don't know, really. It's I think it's, as I said earlier on the shoulders of giants, really. I mean, I've got the easy job. I sit behind the glass and read the screen. So whatever appears on the screen,
are,
I read
it. I think, you know, and I've heard your show, you are part of your audience. You're not broadcasting to them, are you? You're broadcasting with them?
I think to grow up in the city always helps, and to feel, I don't want to use the word the vibe of the city, it seems a bit Austin Powers that, but to feel the way that the city feels, and Hillsborough's been in the news, you know, quite a lot. I lost friends at Hillsborough, everybody knows someone who's lost friends at Hillsborough, so it's being able to connect, and it's all about the listener. You know, it does sound a little bit cliched, it sounds a bit cheesy if you like, but it is all about the listener. It's like a football team. If your supporters do not come to watch your football team, you've got no football team. If your listeners don't connect with the radio station, and that connection is so crucial, it's all about the listeners. You can sit in meetings, you can talk about formats, it's all about listeners.
Now, what I'm interested in is the local radio thing. When it's written up, it's always about old people, it's about people over 50, sometimes over 60.
Yeah,
I have heard your show, I don't think it's aimed at old people, is it? It's just aimed at people who live in Liverpool.
Well, if you're 55, you were a punk. You know, if you're getting into your early 50s now, you were jumping up and down with John Lydon and the rest of the Sex Pistols, and you were part of that revolution in the mid to late 1970s. So you are knocking on for 50, and you know, I'm not too far away from that age now, and I don't wear slippers at night. I don't watch the telly in a snuggie. You know, I don't go to bed at 8:30. I mean, I'm out there. I'm doing what I need to do.
Is Coco not involved, Tony?
Coco is definitely not involved. I think we've shifted on. Maybe if you come back and talk to me in 25 years' time, Coco may be involved. But at the moment, it's this myth that local radio is for older people. Local radio is for punks. And the punks are now 50, 55, and clocking on for 60. If you're 65, you were walking around with Eric Clapton albums under your arm. You know, so let's not kid ourselves.
That's the quote. Well done, Tony. Congratulations.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Well, it's a bit quieter here, Gerald, isn't it?
It is.
Special award. For how many years at the BBC?
45. 1968, yes.
Paint us a picture of the desk that you were sitting at in those days when you started.
I started at Radio Leeds when I was 18, and it was a Mark 1 desk, a Pito Scott desk, specially made for the BBC.
So we're talking rotary faders?
Rotary faders, yes, absolutely, things. Yeah. And there weren't
there
that many of them.
People listening to us now won't know what that
not
means.
Not a clue what you're
doesn't
talking
matter,
about, no. An A and a B output on the desk, but it was mono. And we used the B output for the clean feed. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and we were allowed to put phone calls on the air for the first time at Radio Leeds because the post office didn't want us to do that because they thought we might show how bad their lines were because they used to chatter all the time. So they tried to stop us. So we used to do phone-ins, very, very first radio phone-ins. That was 1968. And I applied for 3 jobs because I was obviously a freelance. I was a very young, inexperienced person. And one was Radio Blackburn. One was Radio Cleveland, now BBC Tees, and one I've forgotten. Anyway, they invited me to Manchester for an interview, but I didn't tell me which station I'd applied for. So I walked in, and they said, so, what do you know about Lancashire? And I said, well, they do wool, don't they? And they said, no, that's Yorkshire. Oh, yes. So I got off to a cracking start.
And seriously, you won this award for being engage with a local radio audience for all those decades, and well deserved too.
Thank you.
What does it for you? I mean, when you get up in the morning, what makes you think, I want to go on the radio and talk to those people?
Well, I do. That is part of what I do, but what's actually has kept me so enthusiastic for so many years is the number of different jobs that I've done. And the station sound manager for BBC English Regions, which I look after jingles and so on, but they still let me broadcast once a week. And when I come to do that, it is really like being part of a family. The audience that I broadcast to on a Sunday afternoon, I feel like they're all friends. And they write to you as if they're friends. And I'm sure they are. And now, because of social media, you get personal messages, of course, all the time. And every Sunday, they write and tell me what they're making for dinner. And, you know, today I have done, and I question on 1 week whether this lady who told me she was making something was actually, have you cooked that yourself? And she was wrote back instantly, said, of course I've cooked it myself. What are you insinuating? You know, and it is, it's that sort of family, and you've got
have
that relationship.
Have you noticed how people who go off to national radio often look down their nose at local radio until they get asked to be a judge at the Gillards, and then they come on air and they say, oh, of course, it's the, you know, it's the best thing that the BBC does. I think a lot of us would agree with that.
I think the BBC local radio is absolutely at the heart of what the BBC does, and its public service remit. Because, you know, we do things that commercial radio would never do to start with, and that makes it public service in a big way, doesn't it? Because it would never be commercially viable. You couldn't do the sort of radio that we do and make money out of it. That's why the BBC does it. But more importantly, just look at the nursery slopes that people have had in BBC local radio. And have, I mean, BBC Five Live, you know, bless their cotton socks, but they started basically by taking a load of people from local radio. And we always sort of see them as a very close relation in that sense. Of course, they've developed it and gone off the lines now, but BBC local radio was at the heart of that. And isn't it fantastic in the 21st century when communications have changed so much that BBC local radio is so key to people's lives? You know, over 7 million people listening to us every week. And the bizarre thing, of course, is, as you'll know only so well, that I also now, my community of listeners are in America, they're in Bulgaria, they're in Australia. They get up at ludicrous times of the day to hear a programme. So actually that community has spread and spread and spread, and yet it is still at the heart of it, local.
Gerald, congratulations. You are now allowed a small tincture.
Who's buying?
You are.
Wait a minute. Who allowed this man on the podcast?
It's that Roy Martin.
No, I just want to say congratulations, Gerald.
Thank you, Roy.
This man taught me at college back in the night. He goes on about teaching at college and how his students were so wonderful.
20 years ago.
What? Get out. So I was one of those, and from the course that we were on, there's about half a dozen people working in radio across the country now. So
well, there's more than that, but there are half a dozen we know.
That's right, yeah. So obviously he did something right on that college course.
There
so thank
three
you, Gerald.
Of the Blackburn College students here today in different capacities. Roy, of course, as you know, he does something to do with radio today or any day, to
it's
be honest.
Been downhill all the way, isn't it? Let's let Gerald go. And Roy, while you're here, editor of Radio Today, that was a good event, wasn't it? Celebrating some really good things about not just BBC local radio, but radio in general.
Absolutely, yeah. I wrote in eRadio last week about the Student Radio Awards being my favourite, but this has almost topped it. It was short and sweet. There were, how many awards were there? But 14 awards. So short and snappy. On
but
and gone.
All about radio. All about making programming. Not about how much money you make. Not about how famous you are.
And local radio is, I don't know, it seems to be shining at the moment. It's turned a corner and it's back in fashion.
It's the Radio Today programme, and now we're going to have the latest news from...
Oh, hang on a minute.
Wait a minute, it's you.
Let me just get my papers together. Here we go.
Thank you, Roy. Back in the studio with the latest news this week, Southampton community radio station Unity 101 has been found in breach of its licence again after allowing a doctor on air to give potentially harmful advice to listeners. He told parents not to have their children vaccinated and offered a simple cure for diabetes. Smooth Radio has a new group programme director. Dick Stone from Capital FM East Midlands is taking over the role from Steve Collins, who stepped down when Global Radio took over last month. And BBC Radio Humberside won Station of the Year at the BBC Local Radio Awards, the Gillards, as you've been hearing on this very podcast. Congratulations to all the winners, including Tony Snell from Radio Merseyside, who got two awards for himself, and Gerald Jackson, who was honoured for his outstanding contribution to local radio. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
Radio Moments!
We start this week with the cries of a baby. A baby who's now 43.
Birth of a station. Good morning, everybody. This is BBC Radio Birmingham, your local radio station for Birmingham, Coventry, Wolverhampton and the Black Country, broadcasting on 95.6 VHF.
BBC Radio Birmingham, launching from Pebble Mill this week in 1970. And it was this week in 1967 that the first BBC local radio station had taken to the air. Michael Murray was the first voice.
Good afternoon from Radio Leicester, broadcasting on 95.05 VHF. Here is the Postmaster General, the Right Honourable Edward Short.
Leicester was that first station, and what the press dubbed Radio on the Rates.
How many hours a day will it be on the air, Mr. Ennals?
We should be on the air about 17 or 18 hours a day, and about 4 hours of the 17 will be local output. Now, these aren't 4 hours together in one block. Mainly, they will be in the early morning, at lunchtime, and in the early evening.
4 hours a day, for, shall we say, a comparatively small station like yourself, is quite a lot. Where are you going to get the material from?
There's no shortage of material at all. My main problem has been in planning the schedules, what to get in to the into those 4 hours. In fact, certainly in the early weeks, there are going to be many people and many organisations who are going to be disappointed because we haven't used their idea in the opening weeks.
The first BBC local station manager, Maurice Ennals. With all this talk currently about getting more women on the air, it's right we celebrate that it's 75 years since the first UK woman DJ. She hosted These You Have Loved on what was the BBC national programme. Her name was Doris Arnold, and she'd started at the BBC as a typist.
I was transferred to the music department after a year, where I acted as secretary to four members of the BBC orchestra and to Stanford Robinson, who was then BBC chorus master.
One of the most famous comedy shows of all started on radio this week in 1954.
Hurry up, Kerr. Haven't you finished typing out those invitations yet? Don't rush me, don't rush me. Might help if you took the gloves off.
Tony Hancock in Hancock's Half Hour, written by the famous Galton and Simpson, taking stage variety into radio sitcom. Tony starred alongside Sid James, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was just sitting there singing happily to myself and then next minute, whoosh, I was up here.
The first series launched on the BBC Light programme on the 2nd of November 1954. 1985 now, and this week saw another station farewell.
Laser 558.
Laser is off the air, and its buccaneering days on the high seas over. She's being escorted into Harwich by a British government ship, which has tried for months to silence the pirates. Radio Laser lost all electrical power in last night's storm, and had to turn to the government ship for help.
Some of the last words from Laser 558, probably the last hugely influential offshore pirate station. 28 years ago it was. It's not only pirate stations which had short lives. This land-based commercial station in Scotland lasted just a couple of years.
This is the part where we tell you the waiting is over. Where the choir swells and the drama takes over.
7th of November 2008, and XFM Scotland, which had been Beat 106, became Galaxy Scotland. It's now Capital. Full-scale commercial radio is still a relative newcomer to the UK. In the States, though, it's been around as long as radio itself. This week in 1920 saw America's first commercial station.
KDKA of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We shall now broadcast the election returns. We are receiving these returns through the cooperation and by special arrangements with the Pittsburgh Post and Sun.
November the 2nd, 1920, Election Day, and Leo Rosenberg sat in a makeshift shack on the roof of Westinghouse Electric Buildings. And as in the UK, it was the technical companies which made the early broadcasting headway.
While we're waiting for the returns to come in over the telephone, direct from the Post and Sun, I'll give you the list of offices in today's presidential election.
So with the local DAB multiplex licensing timetable announced this week 15 years ago, The first, Pop North with Ray Moore 46 years ago, and BBC News Online launching 16 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
David Lloyd concluding proceedings for this week's Radio Today programme. Thanks this week to the team at BBC English Regions for inviting us to the Gillards. And also on a personal note to community station Cambridge 105. They let me present a live 3-hour show, my first for 8 and 9 years. It's not easy, this broadcasting lark, is it? So congratulations to all the winners at the Gillards and indeed everyone else in radio who makes it sound so easy. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dan. Thanks for listening. See you next time.